Now, the star-belly sneetches had bellies with stars, but the plain-belly sneetches had none upon theirs. Those stars weren't so big. They were really so small, you might think such a thing wouldn't matter at all. But because they had stars, all the star-belly sneetches would brag, "We're the best kind of sneetch on the beaches." With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they'd snort, "We'll have nothing to do with that plain belly sort." And whenever they met some, when they were out walking, they'd hike right on past them without even talking. When the star belly children went out to play, could a plain belly get in the game? Not at all. You only could play if your bellies had stars, and the plain belly children had none upon theirs. When the star belly sneetches had frankfurter roasts or picnics or parties or marshmallow toasts, they never invited the plain belly sneetches. They left them out cold in the dark of the beaches. They kept them away, never let them come near. And that's how they treated them year after year. So begins the story of the Sneetches, written by Dr. Seuss and published in a collection of stories in 1953. Now, it's a silly story about two kinds of Sneetches, those with stars on their bellies and those without, those who are part of the in crowd and those who are left out, those who hung out with the right kind of people and those from the wrong side of town. The superior star-bellied Sneetches were better, more important, and much cooler than their fellow starless Sneetches. And so they simply turned their backs on them, not even giving them the time of day. Though it was written over 60 years ago, the story of the Sneetches doesn't seem so far-fetched for us, especially in the midst of this divisive season we are experiencing. I think this story hits pretty close to home. Just like the Sneetches, we too separate ourselves over things just as frivolous as stars on our bellies. Yes, we divide ourselves into many categories. Categories based on gender or race or sexual orientation or level of education, social standing, financial status, political affiliation, or religion, just to name a few. If there is a way for us to divide ourselves up, we'll do it. Even us, the church, members of the one body of Christ, are a house divided. Within our own faith, we place each other in categories of in or out. And the more we divide ourselves into these categories, the deeper the chasm between us gets, and the more we dig our heels into the ground. I think it's telling that we tend to place ourselves in the righteous categories, whatever they may be. And because we find ourselves righteous, we often scoff at another's point of view and think to ourselves, "Well, thankfully I'm not as ignorant as them. Thank God I know better." Now, even if we never speak these thoughts aloud, these kind of thoughts separate us from one another. They encourage us to feel superior. Often our pride gets in the way and we want to believe that we are better or stronger or more intelligent, or that we're more prepared, or that we work harder, or that we are more blessed. We might utter these kinds of thoughts as prayers out of self-protection rather than actual gratitude. And so we continue to go through our days putting ourselves into categories and making ourselves feel better about our lives. Because if someone is worse off than we are, then at least we have something to be grateful for. So we might find ourselves offering a prayer that sounds something like this: "Wow, thank God I don't struggle with addiction like that person does." Or, "Thank you, God, that I don't have a family that has issues like my friends do." Or, "Thank you, God, that I'm not struggling to pay for my groceries this week." And while these prayers are genuine, they are also misguided. We really should be thankful to God for all of the blessings and the good things in our lives. But these prayers still have a way of dividing us. They still have a way of putting ourselves in a safe zone, apart from those experiencing heartache and pain. These kinds of prayers protect us from having to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, and they allow us to ignore the fear and anxiety of facing a difficult time. No matter how well-intentioned, they still put us in an us and them kind of mindset. This is the kind of thinking that Jesus addresses in the parable he tells to those who are with them, those described as those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt, as Luke writes. Now, often we don't know the demographics of the audience listening to Jesus, but in this case, Luke makes it very clear. Jesus is telling the story to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, those who followed the laws of the Torah to a T, those who never went outside the rules or colored outside the lines, those who had worked for years and years being disciplined and learning the do's and the don'ts of living as pious Jews. These same people thought highly of themselves, it appears, for they were able to follow the law, and so they wondered why everyone else couldn't do the same. These were the type A's, the oldest siblings, the deserving leaders. They had earned their place at the table by doing all the right things, and they just couldn't understand why others weren't just like them, why others hadn't dedicated their lives to being rule followers, why others were just a little bit more lax with the laws of the Torah. And so as Jesus begins this parable, I'm betting most of those listening immediately identified with the Pharisee, the one who is right where he belongs in the temple, in a highly visible place where other worshipers were sure to take notice. The Pharisee wanted to be seen giving thanks in the temple, showing his righteousness, and so he begins to pray. Thank you, God, that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. And I wonder what his intentions were behind the words he was saying. I wonder if he truly was thankful, or if he was just trying to show off, or if he was trying to set an example for the other Jews worshiping that day. I wonder if he was trying to shame the tax collector, embarrassing him so badly that he would leave the temple and never return. Well, we don't know his intentions, but we do know that he is grateful to not be like this tax collector. And of course he is. Being a tax collector was the complete opposite of being a Pharisee. Pharisees were righteous. Tax collectors were outsiders, employed in a profession that was forbidden by the laws of the Torah. A Pharisee was holy and righteous. A tax collector was a lawbreaker. A Pharisee wanted justice. A tax collector ripped people off. A Pharisee had a star on his belly, and a tax collector had none. These two could not have been more opposite. And so the Pharisee is happy to be sitting where he is, and so he thanks God for his good standing. But just a few feet away, another man begins to pray. Knowing that he is an outsider, the tax collector won't even look up to heaven. Now, this is a man who no one would have expected to see at the temple. A man who probably made others mutter under their breath, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like that guy." He was the worst, and everyone knew it, including himself. And so he too prays aloud for all to hear, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He knows his place. He knows he doesn't really belong there. He understands his position. Yet something draws him into the temple. Something whispers into his soul, calling him to beat his breast and cry aloud to God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." There was power in those seven little words. Jesus tells those listening that this prayer was all that was needed for the tax collector to be justified. It didn't require years of studying the Torah. It didn't require a lifetime of strict adherence to the law. It didn't require a public display of piety. All it required was the tax collector's honest confession and a total dependence on God. The Pharisee thought that he could do it on his own. He thought his righteousness came from his own ability to know and follow the law. He thought that all he needed was himself and maybe a few others who looked and thought just like him. But Jesus makes it clear that it's not the Pharisee who's justified. It is the lowly sinner. It is the worst of the worst who comes away justified and righteous. Because he is the one who recognizes his need. He knows he can't do it on his own. He knows there is no way he could ever be good enough or holy enough or righteous enough. And so all he can do is plead for mercy. Unlike the Pharisee who doesn't need anyone, this tax collector is completely dependent. And this is good news, especially for the tax collector, because he is no longer left out, and his prayers are worthy, and his words and attitude are justified by God. But it's also good news for the Pharisee. Even if he can't stand the thought of being anything like this tax collector, the news of his justification is good news for him too. But he must accept that it's good news only if he's willing to look outside himself and see himself in another. Because when he sees that he's not so different from the tax collector after all, he will be able to let go of all the pressure he's put on himself to be righteous, all the anxiety about following rules and being the right kind of guy. He is free to be a plain old regular sinner just like everyone else. He's free to be dependent on God's grace. Even Dr. Seuss's parable of the Sneetches understands this point. Because as the story continues, the Sneetches eventually realize that they are not so different after all. But it takes a lot of work for them to understand this. With the help of Sylvester McMonkey McBean, an enterprising entrepreneur, the non-star-bellied Sneetches, tired of being on the outside, find a way to adorn their bellies with a star. Soon they look just like the star-bellied Sneetches. But when the original star-bellied ones find out that these outsiders now look just like them, they no longer want their stars. So again, McBean intervenes and helps them remove the stars. Which, as you can imagine, starts a crazy cycle of Sneetches getting stars and then taking them off, again and again and again, until no one remembers who originally had a star and who didn't. And none of them are able to keep track of who is on the inside and who is on the out. But it's only after they are completely exhausted from striving to be perfect that the Sneetches realize that they're all truly the same. That they all like the same things, that they all enjoy the beaches and picnics and roasting marshmallows. Both of these parables convict us, and they point out the brokenness of our human nature. They remind us of how easy it is to focus on our differences. They help us name the temptation to separate ourselves from everyone else. But both of these stories have a gift for us as well, because they do remind us that we're not so different after all. Even when we want to appear as self-reliant and that we have it all together, these stories help us understand our need. For we really do need one another. But most of all, we need God. Friends, we're all in the same boat. We're all in desperate need of God's love and grace. We can't do it on our own. We aren't smart enough or holy enough or rich enough. We aren't good or righteous or talented enough. And we never will be. There's nothing we can do to earn our way to salvation. There is no way that we can be justified apart from God's total love and grace. And the same goes for our neighbor who disagrees with us, and for the friend whose family is falling apart. The same goes for the addict and the refugee and the prisoner, for the drug dealer and the Pope and the president and the Wall Street banker and the small town teacher, and you and me. Our utter dependence on God leaves no room for division or separation, for we are all the same. We all need grace. We are all desperate for God. So the next time a thought comes across our minds and we think, "Thank God I'm not like," may we instead choose to see ourselves in another and instead make our prayer, "Thank you, God, for making us all dependent on you." Amen.